Okay, so if you're just getting into oysters, or really, like, if you already eat them like an otter, we have a terrific guide to buying and eating oysters for you. Our producer Sally Swift got the rundown from Dan Souza. So Dan was a cook in a seafood restaurant, and his family origins span both sides of the Atlantic Ocean. He's also the editor-in-chief of Cook's Illustrated magazine. So they talked about the real-life stuff.
Hey Dan, great to have you with us.
Hey, it's great to be here.
You know, we have been talking about oysters all hour, and we have come to you to get some basics covered because there are opportunities everywhere for people to eat oysters these days. So I want to start, like, right at the beginning with the big question, true or false that we should eat them only in the R months?
Well, so this used to be true, and it technically still is today if you're eating wild oysters. Wild oysters were kind of the norm back in the last century, but nowadays we pretty much eat exclusively cultivated oysters. And the reason for the rule was the months without an R, so we're talking about May, June, July, and August, essentially the summer, was spawning season for oysters. And oysters that are spawning just don't have a very good texture. Mm-hmm. So it really wasn't so much about, you know, it's not safe to eat them in the summer. It was that they don't have the best texture. Nowadays, because we're eating farmed oysters, you can enjoy them throughout the year.
And we are mostly eating farmed oysters, correct?
That's correct. By and large, you're eating farmed oysters. There are still a few areas, if you get them from Europe in particular, that there are still some wild harvested oysters. But for the majority of the oysters that you're getting, they're all farmed.
Okay. And what do we need to look for when we are buying them?
So the key to buying oysters is you want them to be alive and well when you buy them. And this is true. This is, you know, not true of all foods that we eat, but definitely shellfish and oysters. It's really, really important. So the first thing is, if you think of them like produce, you want to buy them at a place that goes through a lot of oysters. Mm-hmm. In the same way that you don't want to go to a store that has produce lying around for weeks and weeks and getting worse. The next thing is you want to make sure that the lid on the oyster is tightly closed at all times. That means that it's got plenty of moisture inside and all that nice liquor in there. It means that it's also alive. So a really good fishmonger will do this trick, and this is an important thing mm-hmm. to look for, is they'll pick up two oysters and they'll gently knock them together. Mm-hmm. And what the fishmonger is doing is listening to the sound that they make. And so if an oyster is really packed with liquor, it's tightly closed, it's going to make a really deep thud. If it sounds hollow, that means that a lot of that liquor has drained out, and that oyster is either dead or at least not very healthy. So if you see your fishmonger doing that, that's great, and they should kind of self-select the ones that that are good.
I have never seen a fishmonger do that, I have to admit.
Yeah, so the really good places, they will do that, and they know to do that. And I think the final point is, in terms of the size of the oyster that you're buying, is really mm-hmm. important. You can eat an oyster that's very small or one that's really big, and they're all delicious, and they never really get tough, even as they get quite large. But you have some challenges. When there's a really large oyster, it's going to be pretty tough to open, and it might be a little too much for whoever's eating it to kind of slurp it down in one. And it's on the other end, if it's too small, you're opening more oysters to feed people, which is, it's a hard task to open them. And it can be a little bit more difficult to get your oyster knife in there. So look for average size oysters with a nice deep cup and a fishmonger who sells a lot of them and knows that nice knocking trick.
That is great advice. And then what did we do? What's the best way for us to store them when we get them home?
So for storage, just like with all seafood and especially live seafood, cold is your friend. You want to get them as cold as possible without them freezing. And the real key to that is using ice. So the best method is put the oysters in a colander, cover them with ice, and put that colander in another bowl. What that allows you to do is basically have those oysters touching ice, and then as it melts, it drains away. And that's really, really key. You don't want to do what I did when I worked at a very fancy French seafood restaurant where I forgot to take the oysters out of the ice and let them sit overnight in it. And as that ice melted, they were surrounded by fresh water and they died. So oysters love salt water. They die in fresh water. So you always want to have a place for that fresh water that's melted off the ice to drain away.
I had no idea. And that crushed ice that restaurants serve oysters on is really there for a reason. I mean, oysters taste much better when they're raw and they are cold.
Absolutely. So we love oysters nice and cold, and crushed ice really is perfect for it for a couple of reasons. One is when you get oysters at the table, if they're coming on something like salt or a bed of greens or something like that, when they arrive at the table, that is the coldest they will ever be.
Right.
So you feel a certain kind of rush to eat them because you want to eat them where they're nice and chilled. If they show up on a bed of crushed ice, it means that you have plenty of time to hang out with them. They're just going to get colder and they're going to stay for a long time. So you can have sips of wine and oysters and kind mm-hmm. of, you know, have a good time with whoever you're dining with and not worry that the oysters are not going to be as good as they sit.
That is the way to go. So I want to get to cooking in a minute, but I need to know, are you a sauce on or a sauce off person with your raw oysters? I find this divides oyster eaters.
Yeah, well, so I would say my guess is that it probably divides oyster eaters over their lifetime, because I know for myself, I used to use a lot more sauces than I do now.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started eating them, I liked cocktail sauce, I liked mignonette, even hot sauce. I think I was getting used to the taste of the oyster and the texture and all the newness of it. As time's gone on, I kind of switched over to just using lemon. And my preferred way now is with no sauce at all, but with a really nice, steely, bright white wine, kind of as the acidic component. So mm-hmm. sipping on that and eating the oysters. But yeah, I think there's no shame in using sauces, but I think you taste it the most when there's nothing else.
Okay, so let's get into cooking them. So what are your favorite ways of dealing with them with heat?
So there's a ton of different ways to cook oysters. I think something that's really important to keep in mind is oysters are pretty mild. So if you're going to take them out and batter them and fry them and put them in a really flavorful, you know, dipping sauce, like you're going to lose a lot of that oyster flavor. For me, the only way I really like to cook oysters is on the grill. And it's also just dead simple. If you have a lot of people coming over and you don't want to spend the time shucking oysters, it couldn't be any simpler. So you start with a medium hot grill. You place the oysters, which you've scrubbed really well. Then they're going to go on a medium hot grill, kind of cup side up, put a lid on it, and just go for a couple minutes. All you're looking for is that shell to pop open, just a little bit. And it's not going to pop open wide. Once that happens, take them off the grill. And I like to have a landing zone where I've taken a big sheet of aluminum foil and kind of crumpled it up a little bit and basically made a nest out of foil where they can come off and they can sit right on that. And that keeps them upright so that you don't lose any of that nice liquor.
Mm-hmm.
Once they're over there, you just want to get any knife. And this can be a paring knife, a butter knife. If you have an oyster knife, that's great. And you're just going to slide in that big opening that you now have access to and sever the adductor muscle on top. And take that top shell off and then slide it underneath and sever the adductor muscle on the bottom. Then they're ready to go. So you can serve them with lemon wedges, with you know different sauces, flavored butters. It's really the easiest possible way to serve oysters. And because you're not doing a lot to them, they're just kind of enhanced by the grill, but not overpowered by any flavors.
And are they cooked or are they just warmed up?
For the most part, you know, if you keep going, you can definitely cook them. I like them just kind of gently warmed. You see that they'll tighten up a little bit, firm up a little bit mm-hmm. With the heat, and you could keep going longer if you wanted to. But I think you get the nicest experience if they're just kind of warmed up, a little bit of grill flavor, and easier to open.
That sounds delicious. And what do you do with those? You know, you often find tubs of shucked oysters. What do you like to do with those? Do you ever take them on?
The tubs of oysters, if they're coming from a good fishmonger and they're fresh, I think those are great if you want to make an oyster stew, mm-hmm. which is actually a pretty classic dish, or if you wanted to do a deep fried oyster, those are the ones that I would go for. It's going to be a ton of work otherwise, and you know you're not going to notice the differences in how they were shucked once they're battered and fried.
That makes sense. Okay, I have one last question about eating oysters.
Okay.
So we're seeing a lot of dollar oyster places these days for happy hour. Is that a
yes.
good thing or a bad thing? I'm afraid to ask.
So if I only had one answer for this, my answer would be no.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good idea, but it's a little more nuanced than that. Is I think you have to look at the place that is selling the oysters. So if this is a restaurant that serves a lot of seafood, that often serves oysters at full price and is offering a discounted price on them, I think that's probably a pretty good bet, and I would check them out. If, on the other hand, it's a bar or restaurant that really doesn't focus on seafood, doesn't have oysters very much, and is really trying to just get people in the door, I would be a lot more wary of going to that mm-hmm. to that establishment.
Mm-hmm.
And it really comes down to best practices. The stuff that we talk about, storing them really cold, knowing how to properly open an oyster, that's all going to come with working with oysters a lot. I think if you go in and you order, the sure sign that you don't want to be eating those oysters is if they look like they were opened by seagulls. And by that I mean the way seagulls open oysters.
Massacred?
They pick them up and they fly really high in the air and they drop them on rocks. And so they're open, but there's shards of shell everywhere. There's dirt in them. The adductor muscle wasn't cut well. You can look at them and tell pretty quickly if they were handled with care. Not served on ice.
Okay, it's the seagull test.
The seagull test, yeah. And that's your final guide.
That is funny. Good advice. Hey, thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Ellie.
Dan Souza is the editor-in-chief of Cook's Illustrated Magazine. You can find the recipe for grilled oysters with spicy lemon butter at splendidtable.org.